this is cool music. Thanks, Jazzy. 720 WGN. It is Dane here in the Skyline studio. And when it comes to TV, we all watch it. And we're watching it and consuming television in different ways than maybe we have in the past. But it's still front and center when it comes to entertainment in a lot of different ways. And we've been talking over the last couple of days about alternative gifts. Things that people can do. And now, as crazy as it may have sounded a few years ago, but giving people subscriptions to some of the streaming services seems like a pretty cool gift. And there's some great stuff to see, not only on the just the general side, but also when it comes to specific entertainment for the holidays. And on the line with us, you know, we have him on a regular basis. It's Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor for Desire.com. You know his work from TV Guide, MTV News, MTV Geek, Hugo, AMC, and more. He's been slapped you've been slapped by John Cleese in your bio. So we're definitely going to mention it. Alexander, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So, and thanks for the lengthy resume. I appreciate that, too.
Well, you want to have people know, because whenever anyone suggests that word of mouth, that recommendation from someone that you know and trust, weighs a lot more than maybe a commercial saying it's great or very fine print thumbs up recommendations from movie or TV reviewers. If you have someone that you know has a background and an opinion, I think you can trust it.
Yeah, well, hopefully I turned out to be trustworthy. I hope I pay off on your faith.
No, you are, because, okay, so we talked a little bit about Fleabag in some of the other times where we had you on, some of these series where you have come out and actually inspired not only me, but I'm sure countless listeners to go and check some of these out. And then lo and behold, you know, your thoughts, I think, are kind of verified by the awards and things like that when they win things. Not for everybody on the holiday side. So when it comes to holiday, there's a couple suggestions here. The Night Before Christmas, and for the listeners that can't see what I'm reading, it's Night with a KN. So it's like the round table style night. And, I want to do a little bit of due diligence. And so I got a chance to check out a few minutes of it. I wanted to see just what it was. You know, you got Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical. And then you've got, you know, that tale that is also as old as time, you know, the time travel and kind of jousting, right? And here we have it. So what do you think?
Well, Netflix has been kind of great about putting out these very cheesy, but exactly what you want out of a holiday rom-com. You know, you don't want something too hard. You want something fun, something where the leads are charming, they're enjoyable, there's a couple of good jokes. It has that holiday feel to that. And they've had some mixed results. Some of them are pretty bad, to be honest. But The Night Before Christmas, according to our reviewers at Decider, is very good. And Vanessa Hudgens is very funny in it. She falls in love with a time-traveling medieval knight who comes there over Christmas, of course. But she is kind of turning it to the Netflix holiday queen. She had another movie called The Princess Switch, which, again, you can kind of figure out what it was for the title, but it's a very, I was about to say Country Mouse, City Mouse, that's not what it is. Prince of the Pauper, that's what it is. So it's that, but she's a princess, turns out she has a twin, who's a commoner, they switch places. That was another big hit for them, and they're doing a sequel for it, and it's kind of great. Like, it's a nice little niche industry that she has paid out to make these very cheesy but very fun rom-coms for Netflix that you can just check out at home.
Yeah, people love cheese. I think my wife is one of those that loves it, because I handed her the phone, say, check this out, then I want to check out the latest Dolly Parton thing, which we'll talk about a little bit after the break, and I couldn't get the phone away from her. She's like, no, this is the exact kind of movie that I like. even though it seems, I don't know, in a word, implausible, right? Of course, the time-traveling night, and then there's that whole kind of fish/night out of water, and then I think there was even an homage to Back to the Future, where somebody hits somebody with a car, and then you need to, because this is the way, anytime I see anyone hit by a car, I take them in as a guest in my home. And that happens here too.
Absolutely. I assume they're a time traveler or something magical is going on with them, and we kind of go from there. You know, I mean, to your point, though, it's interesting to me. I think in critical circles, people sort of undervalue that part of the point of Netflix is to find something easy to watch over the weekend. There's a lot of focus put on peak TV and these really important dramas, which are great, and I love, that TV is better now than it has ever been before. But most of the time, folks just want to unwind over the weekend. So having something like Night Before Christmas, we can just turn it on with the family for an hour and a half and just chill out and watch it. That's great.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Alexander Zalbin about Dolly Parton. She's in there. Again, she's not remaking 9 to 5 or anything, but she is kind of taking what it is that she has on the iconic song side and then translating that into kind of episodes that carry either the theme of the song and there's a little bit of narration to it. It's kind of cool. And for people that love Dolly Parton and who doesn't, they'll be pleased. And then we'll get into some of the other series that are coming up and available as well. Maybe we'll even get Alexander to talk a little bit about The Mandalorian. We'll see. When we come back from the break. So quick break. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. And we are back, 720 WGN, here in the Skyline studio, talking a little bit of TV traditions and some of the ways that the watching has sort of changed. And on the line with us, we have Alexander Zalbin from Desider.com. I got to tell you, Alexander, like, we have totally changed in the last, I would say, year and a half, as like kind of I would consider us a relatively typical family, you know, three kids and two adults. We have Hulu, we have Netflix, we have Sling for the local programming, and now, of course, like so many others, we've signed on to the Disney Plus. And I've got to say, because some of the stuff is included in your cell phone plan, if you get the right plan, they just gave us Hulu, so we have that. We work on sort of a relative co-op for the Netflix, and then the Sling is pretty reasonable. So I think we're somewhere in the $40 range for all of that entertainment. That's including the Disney Plus as well. Is this typical? Is this the kind of the wave of the future? People are consuming TV just this way?
You know, there's a lot of questions about this right now. And actually, there was a big article that came out, I believe, in Hollywood Reporter today, where they were pointing out that there's potentially going to be a stopgap down the road, that you have companies like Roku and Amazon Fire Stick and all these proprietary devices that right now run everything, which is great for the consumer because, to your point, you can get a lot of different services in a lot of different ways. But there may be a point in the future that they might say, well, hold on a second, we need better deals there for our Roku Stick. We're going to upcharge, we're going to cut down on the services, we're going to have our own service. You know, there's a lot of possibilities there, because eventually companies too want to make a lot of money and they want to pump the money back into themselves. So potentially something like that would happen. But right now, to your point, the absolute best thing you can do as a consumer is really look into where the deals are. For example, and this is my own fault, I was paying for HBO for a really long time. Until about 2 weeks ago, I turned to my wife and I said, wait a second, we get it free through AT&T. What are we doing? So just, you know, if you do have some of those pay service, like you were saying, Disney Plus, you can get a year free through Verizon. HBO Max, which is coming next year, I believe is also going to be free through AT&T. And that's going to cost about the same as regular HBO subscription. So they're going to push a lot of deals like that initially. And as much as you can take advantage of them, the better it's going to be on your wallet.
So new ways to enjoy things and maybe some of those old favorites as well. Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, watched a little bit of this, and it's great to have her kind of narrating things. But does Dolly Parton have enough of like a broad fan base to really kind of drive interest in this series?
Mm-hmm. I really think so, and it's been kind of surprising what a renaissance Dolly Parton has had in the past couple of years. You know, there was a movie, oh gosh, I'm blanking on the name now, but it was another Netflix movie that she produced and did some songs for, and people flipped out when they heard that. I think she's one of these people that's been around long enough and been successful and good as a person long enough that it's really come around to just being, there's nostalgia, there's kitsch involved in her songs and things, but there's also absolute love as well. And so you have this 8-episode anthology series that debuted today on Netflix called Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, and there's great cast members in it. You got Kathleen Turner, Jennifer Goodwin, Kyle Boraimer, Cameron Manheim, tons of folks like that. And each episode takes its plot from a different song. So you have a Jolene episode and a Sugar Hill episode. And this is absolutely the wrong thing to say, but Dolly Parton is sort of the crypt keeper for it, where she introduces the thing.
No, that's exactly. She looks great. You know, so for those people out there thinking that's an insult, it's the role of sort of the MC, the presenter. She looks great, really, you know.
Yes. And she's great, too. I think it's like we were talking about with the Christmas movies. It's the same sort of thing where people are looking for a warm blanket of a show sometimes, and that's what it's going to provide. You know what you're getting into when you're watching Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, and it absolutely leans into that.
we talked about the Disney Plus situation as well. And when it comes down to Star Wars, you know, we've got friends here at the station, obviously friends and the family and the kids. And Star Wars is kind of this transcendent, like, entertainment platform that has fans from, like, all ages and fan bases. But the whole streaming service gives you latitude, right, where everything doesn't have to be the biggest, most epic movie that's going to take over the blockbuster side of Hollywood. And so The Mandalorian has come out, and I've seen some comments kind of lukewarm, and I've seen a lot that are excited about it.
Yeah, I won't spoil anything for the third episode, which dropped today, and new episodes are dropping every Friday. But I love the show, and I love one of the things that I was thinking in particular about watching today's episode is I love how relatively small it is, that the episodes so far have ranged from about a half an hour to 40 minutes. They're very focused. They're sort of just very simple Western setups. Like the second episode almost had a wagon train robbery type thing going on in the middle. This one has a bit of a standoff thing like the first episode did. And again, they're just very simple. They're very small. They're not about saving the entire galaxy. They're focused on one particular mission. And the other thing that they're using very different directors. Today's episode is directed by a director named Deborah Chow, who does such a fabulous job with this. They're giving her a directing job and the showrunning job, I believe, on the Obi-Wan Kenobi series that'll be coming at some point later. That's going to star Ewan McGregor from the prequel movies. So what they're doing here, I feel really effectively, is you have these big, overwhelming movies, which are great. Again, I'm going to be their opening day for Rise of Skywalker. But this allows for more breadth of the franchise, so to speak, that it allows it to take the story and go in different directions. It's not making the galaxy smaller, it's making it bigger. And it's very exciting, at least to me.
Yeah, and you get to kind of take some of these bite-sized adventures and take some characters that may not be as prominent. You know, not every situation has to be action figures and lunchboxes, right? You can do this.
Right.
Plus, what I loved about that they built it in that I think was some of the magic of the first early movies, and really all of them, right, is the humor. And you've got Jon Favreau who built in some of that, and I think that was one of the secret ingredients to the special sauce of the success of Marvel has been humor. And so they're building some funny into these.
And I think the cast is fantastic as well, which has been really working to bring in people who wouldn't necessarily be interested in Star Wars. I'll even speak for my own office at Decider, where there's certainly members of the staff who are huge Star Wars fans and some who could not care less. But the people who don't care less go, oh my gosh, Werner Herzog is in this. Carl Weathers is in this.
Yes.
This is so much fun. This is so weird. And that's part of the appeal as well, and I think that's great.
Yeah, Nick Nolte's in it. I'm sure he'd want to trade. He's probably sending his character in The Mandalorian to try to switch out for that unflattering mugshot that everybody actually sees from.
Yes, Nick Nolte as a pig man somehow looks better than him after a few days being drunk or whatever.
Oh my God. Well, people are going to get in there and see some things. If you have a couple things you want to mention quick before we get the information and let you go ahead and share it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you are checking out Disney Plus, another thing that I'd really recommend is a documentary called The Imagineering Story that's rolling right now. It's a very big deep dive into how Disney built its theme parks. And if you're a Disney nerd at all, or you're curious how that came together and the history of that, it's really fascinating. Another series that I'd really recommend checking out is called Encore, and it's about taking high school musical casts and reuniting them a decade or two down the road to perform the same show in the same parts, but with Broadway-style production values. And if you are ever a theater kid, it is one of the most stressful things you'll ever watch. But at the same time, it's really heartwarming and encouraging as well. Overall, there's a lot of stuff to discover, particularly on Disney Plus. I've been having a lot of fun watching it with my kids. We've been going back and watching through all the old princess movies and animated movies, and it's a neat service.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Lots of stuff there, as well as some of the other ones. He is Alexander Zelbin. You can get him at Decider.com. Alexander, thanks for jumping on the show today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to probably send it to news, and then Jerry Nunn is waiting. So keep it here, 720 WGN.